Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We welcome you. We'd love to hear from you. Basic Gospel, of course, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We are live. We're on the air, online, and streaming live video to Facebook and YouTube. And as I said, we would love to hear from you. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're continuing this week on our topic, apologetics. And when you think about apologetics as far as attacks from outside of Christianity, you think of it in terms of three things, defending three things: origins, because that's a big question. Where did we come from? How did this world come into being? And so science is saying one thing, and we know the Word of God says God, in the beginning, God created.
Yes.
And so those two are miles apart, and they're going to lead to various points way much further down. The second thing is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they're the scientists who believe that nothing happens outside the realm of the natural. This materialistic world can explain anything and everything. We just merely need to look to the laws of physics. Only problem is they haven't discovered a law in physics that can explain the resurrection. So instead of trying to find that law, they simply just discard it and try to say that it never happened. That was just a figment of a bunch of people's imagination. It's just a myth that has been passed on down through the generations. And then the third thing is truth. So you have origins, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then you have truth. What is truth? Well, in this world today, truth has become relative. It's whatever you want to make of it. You find your truth. It was kind of interesting. Last week I was in New York City for a funeral, another speaking engagement, and the New York Times is in the midst of an ad campaign, and it's all around truth. So I looked up just about everywhere I went, and there were billboards with this New York Times ad campaign, 19 statements about the truth. The truth is hard. The truth is hidden. The truth must be pursued. The truth is hard to hear. The truth is rarely simple. The truth isn't so obvious. The truth is necessary. The truth can't be glossed over. The truth has no agenda. It cannot be manufactured. It doesn't take sides. It isn't red or blue. It's hard to accept. It pulls no punches. It's powerful. It's under attack. It's worth defending. It requires taking a stand. It is more important now than ever. And that last statement, I think, is the most significant, because truth is more important now than ever. But it begs the question, the same question that Pilate asked of Jesus: what is truth? And let me just read that passage, because Jesus is before Pilate. The Jewish leaders have brought him over from Caiaphas's house. It's early on the morning of the Passover. And it says that they would not go into the Roman palace because they didn't want to get defiled, and they wanted to eat the Passover later that day. So Pilate comes out to them. They have this little conversation. Pilate goes back into the palace, and he summons Jesus into the palace, and he questions him. And Jesus talks about his kingdom, that it's not of this world. And then Pilate says, well, you are a king then. And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. And everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And to that, Pilate asked, what is truth? So Jesus has something to do with truth. He's testifying to the truth. And everyone who listens to him is on the side of truth. So where are we going to find truth? That's the big question. That is the all-important question. So if you're an atheist and you believe the origin of this world is something other than God, that it's just happened, that evolution, the evolutionary forces, has brought this world into being and it has brought it to where it is now, then your idea of truth is going to be a relative term. There is no absolute truth, and of that they're absolutely sure. So they are sending out an absolute truth in that statement.
Yes.
So they believe in it, but they really don't believe in it. So to them, it's relative. But when you start with the premise that God created everything, then you're going to go to the point and say there is absolute truth. And if we're going to know absolute truth, we're going to have to find it in God. And God has made that truth known to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So who is the truth? Jesus Christ. So it's not a what, it's a who.
Yes.
And that's what we need to understand. And so when you kind of put that in terms of what this ad is for the New York Times, you know, Jesus is what we need to defend. Jesus is who we need to stand up for. Jesus is who we need to make known in this world. And everybody who is on the side of truth is going to listen to the claims about Christ and are going to come to grips with that is their ultimate reality, and then they're going to give themselves to the Lord. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that we need to know in an absolute sense, we're going to find in him, aren't we, Richard?
Oh, yeah. I read this list, and I can't help thinking that there's a group of four or five people sitting around the table saying, well, what is truth? How can we put this together? And they came up with some interesting things. But it's humanistic, it's groupthink. There's nothing here that would, at the end of the day, tell me that if I read the New York Times, I will find truth.
Right.
That's what they want me to believe.
Right.
But there's
right.
nothing here that says that the New York Times will provide it. That's not a cut on New York Times. It's the fact that we, as humans, stopped looking at Jesus so long ago, mm-hmm. and now we have no basic truth to move from. Truth has to be rooted in him, or there's no root
right.
at all.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, where we are in history today. You know, science is, their voice is being heard loudly. Just internet and all of the things that are going on has amplified the scientific community's voice. Yeah. And with evolution is kind of their truth, their premise, their foundation that they're standing upon. They're doing everything they can to write God out of the human story.
Yes.
They are rendering him irrelevant. And that's what Stephen Hawking said. He said, with science and the laws of physics, we just don't need God anymore to explain how things are. Well, I'm sorry, that's just not true. We do need God. And ultimately, if we let science, the evidence of science, if we just follow that path, we're gonna wind up at God's doorstep, and we're gonna have to realize that he is the one that brought this world into being. So we really have to understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we do, life seems to make sense to us.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. We have calls already coming in. We'd love to hear from you as well. 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Now, we've talked about it all month long, and I hope you've taken the opportunity to make a donation and request your copy of Los Angeles County Crime Scene Investigator Jim Wallace's excellent book called Cold Case Christianity. After considering the evidence from the perspective of a seasoned cold case investigator, what Jim found was overwhelming evidence that the claims of the New Covenant are, in fact, accurate. And, of course, they will help you to make the case for the validity of biblical claims and have confidence to articulate the case for Christianity. As our thanks to you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we want you to have a copy of Cold Case Christianity. Just click the prominent link on the homepage at basicgospel.net and request your copy as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Again, that's at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to our good friend, Clay. Hi, Clay.
How y'all doing today?
We're doing well. How about you, my friend?
Doing good. As a matter of fact, what you're talking about, I've been reading about Stephen in Acts 7, and he was cruising along pretty good, telling the history of all the Jewish race and everything. He came to verse 48, and started talking about how the Most High doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, but is seated in the heavens and on the throne, and the earth is his footstool. And so he started talking about the truth there, and it looks like it cost him his life. But what the specific question I wanted to ask is in verse 55 and 56, right before they got ready to stone him, he says, "But he being full of the Holy Ghost," speaking of Stephen, "looked up steadfastly in the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." And then he said, "And I behold, I see the heavens open up and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." My question is, why does Stephen see him standing there where you go to Hebrews 8 as our high priest seated at the right hand of God for our confession of faith, and everywhere else it speaks of Jesus being seated, but Stephen's standing?
Well, I think a couple of reasons here, Clay. One, when we look at the book of Hebrews and it talks about the fact that Jesus, after he finished his work, was seated, it's because he finished his work. So the Levitical priesthood, they always stood in the temple. Why? Because their work was never finished. So as far as forgiveness of sins, as far as everything that needed to be done to take away our sins once and for all so that we could be forgiven and made alive in Christ, everything was accomplished. And the fact that Jesus was seated was an indication of that. I think here in Acts chapter 7, when it says that Stephen saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, I think that is a position of authority. I think Jesus Christ was standing there as the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and he is standing there as one with authority. And so he is overseeing this, and he is going to be the one that receives Stephen unto himself. So I think the standing position has an authoritative deal. So it's not to say that his work isn't finished. Mm-hmm. We already know that his work was finished. This is just simply saying that Jesus is standing, that all authority has been given to him, and if he's standing, we'll be able to stand with him regardless of what happens. It's one of the great images in the armor of God.
Yes.
That after Satan throws all of his fiery darts at us, we're still standing. So that's a position of strength, a position of hope, and I think that's what we see right here with Jesus.
I just always thought, and I know that word you taught me the other day, I've already forgot it, but to take it as what it says, but what if Stephen would have saw him seated and at the right hand of God and the earth at his footstool and all of his enemies being put under his feet if he still would have been stoned? But it's interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to be the subject next month.
Well, it will be fun. We're going to talk about New Covenant. We're going to talk about resurrection. We're going to talk about all those good things that surround the gospel story, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Next month, we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday. So that is going to be a big bulk of what we talk about on radio. So stay tuned. It's going to be fun.
Sounds like it's going to be a goodly time. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks, Clay.
Hey, thanks, Clay. Thanks for your call. Let's go out to Oakland, California and talk to William. Hi, William.
Bob Christopher.
Yes, sir. How are you, my friend?
Program. I love your program. I love the Lord. I got a story to tell. Last week, a woman spoke about the Holy Spirit cannot be in you unless you give yourself to Christ. And I kind of realized that may be true. But I was in my drug addiction for 9 years. I mean, I was way out there. And one day, I want to know, does God have angels watching over people that he wants to use? Because my life was transformed in a day. And I tell people that it was like I was on the Damascus Road. I never had another urge to do drugs. I never attempted to go back to drugs. It's like God was calling me to him. And after I got clean for like a couple of weeks, I finally told my sister, yes, I'll go to church with you. And that's when I found out who God really is and gave my life to him when I was 60 years old.
Wow, William, that's
yeah, great story.
That's a wonderful story.
But something touched me. I don't know. Is it possible something touched me at the time God says, okay, he's ready?
Well, William, that could be the case. I mean, it certainly was the case for the Apostle Paul on that road to Damascus. All of a sudden, that bright light hits and everything changes. And to a degree, what's that?
Did he speak to Paul? He spoke to Paul.
Yes.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I didn't hear any voice, but I know I was touched by, I don't know if it was an angel or something watching over me. It may have been God himself.
Well, William,
all I know is that he must have reached out his hand to me, and I grabbed it and held on.
Well, that's,
I'm still holding on to it.
Here's how I would describe it, William. You know, you were going down a path, and it wasn't a very good path. And God knew at a point in time that you're going to be saved, and that day came, and boy, you just were saved. You went from death to life, from darkness to light. You became a new creature in Christ. And that was all brought about because of the grace of Jesus Christ. He entered into your life at a point in time, and you were ready. Your heart had been humbled in some way, and all of a sudden you responded. And a couple of weeks later, you find out exactly what went on at that particular point in time. Now, did you have angels watching over you? More than likely so. God's angels are there. They're his messengers that deliver the message to us. They're watching. They're doing. They're serving God at his bidding, doing whatever God asks them to do on his behalf to bring people to that point of salvation. That's what the writer of Hebrews talks about as far as the angelic mission is, what they're there to do. They're God's messengers to serve those who are going to inherit salvation. That's what they did for you, William. And boy, when it happened, boy, you left that old way of life and just started walking down that new path. And boy, what a wonderful thing that is, isn't it?
Sir, I'm still walking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like I say, I listen to you and Pastor Paul Shepherd. I listen to the station all day long, and I just can't get enough of learning.
Well, that's
God. That's a sure sign, right?
Yeah,
there.
That sure is, yeah. William. Well, we're certainly glad you're listening to Basic Gospel, and we're glad that we can be a part of your life through the radio broadcast. And now that we've met you on the air, we're certainly glad that you're a part of our lives.
Yes, indeed.
And
I have a church home, and I pay tithes to my church home.
Yeah.
But I also give money to like radio station, like your station.
Yes.
I'm going to send you a donation like I do other stations that I listen to.
Well, we appreciate that, William, and we're so grateful that God saved you, that by grace, through faith in Jesus, you went from death to life, and you're fully alive in Jesus Christ, and we just pray.
Well, I thank you, and I thank all of your listeners for all of the questions, because it's all about learning for me right now.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, let me put you on hold, William, and we'll be glad to send you some resources that I think will be really helpful to you, okay?
Okay, did you say that was in Hebrews about the angelic angels?
Yes. Chapters 1 and 2. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, you hang on, William.
I think it's very nice that William mentions the listeners and, of course, those who support Basic Gospel, because every time someone's life is touched, it's because someone gave. And, you know, many times the questions skeptical people throw out are nothing more than smoke screens. On the other hand, to those consumed with fear and uncertainty about spiritual issues and the claims of Christianity, those questions are as real as rain. Those folks need respectful answers to their questions. A strong tool to help answer the sincere questions of our listeners is L.A. County Detective Jim Wallace's book, Cold Case Christianity, and we want to send you a copy. Of course, it will help you provide answers to those who are skeptical of the gospel but who have sincere questions. Request your copy today as our thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel. Just click that prominent link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net for Cold Case Christianity, powerful evidence to help you have rock-solid faith.
Yes, indeed. And I want to tell our listeners, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We need contributions from our listeners to keep the good news coming on the airways each and every day. Yeah. First of every year is kind of tough for ministries like ours, and we just need a special outpouring of generosity from our listeners. Between now and the end of this month, we would like another $30,000 to come in so that we can pay our airtime and all the obligations that we have to stay on the air. So if anyone out there could make a generous donation at this point, we sure would appreciate it.
Yeah. Again, go to basicgospel.net and again, click that very prominent link about Cold Case Christianity. That will accomplish both purposes.
Yes, indeed. Let's go down to Austin, Texas and talk to Jackie. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
How are you?
Welcome. What's on your mind today? Yes, we can. You're on the air.
Awesome. I had a question. There is a verse, and I believe it's Psalm 119. Maybe 142, somewhere in there, and it talks about righteousness, but it also says your law is truth. I was curious to see what your comment was on that.
Well, the law is truth. I mean, God gave the law. There's truth in that. But all of that law, all of the Mosaic law, and sometimes when David is using the word law, he's speaking about the entirety of the Word of God. And so the Word of God is really God's testimony concerning His Son. So everything in the Word of God points us to Jesus. And Jesus is where ultimate truth is found. So now the Word of God and Jesus Christ are never going to be in conflict one with another. But Jesus Christ really is the flesh of this Word that we hold in our hands. So the Pharisees studied the Word of God, and they were doing so in hopes that they would find eternal life. But Jesus said to them, "These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." So when we go into the Word of God, when we go into the law of God, all of that information is supposed to point us to Jesus. That was God's intention. And what are we going to find in Jesus? We're going to find that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through Him. Does that make sense, Jackie?
It makes absolute sense. Thank you very much.
Well, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for your call today. We greatly appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Thank you.
Yeah. A quick question from Ken, who writes to us from Savannah, Georgia. Are we sinners or saints? How do we address Galatians 2:17, 1 Timothy 1:15, and especially James 4:8?
Well, if you're in Christ, you're a saint. You're not a sinner. We all started as sinners. That was our identity apart from Christ. But now that we're saved, by grace, we gain a new identity. We're born again into the kingdom of God, born again into the family of God. So to all who receive Him, they've been given the right to become children of God. And as children of God, we are saints by calling. So we need to recognize that. That's our identity. And as we understand that identity and understand the God who gave that to us, then we're going to see that identity start to transform how we think and how we behave and how we act one toward another.
Yeah. Ken, hope that's helpful to you. You know, friends, we've talked about it all month long, and time literally is running short. So I hope you've taken the opportunity to make a donation to Basic Gospel and request your copy of Los Angeles County crime scene investigator J. Warner Wallace's excellent book, Cold Case Christianity. Now, his findings and researching the material for this book will help you make the case for the accuracy of the Bible. Click the prominent link of the homepage at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy, Cold Case Christianity, Powerful Evidence to Help You Have Rock Solid Faith. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. And as Bob Christopher says, don't forget that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. We need your support at this particular time. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis. God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.